pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Well, really, we only have one headline, and that is we are going to the playoffs.
What? This is uncharted territory, Tim Van Horn.
What a fun weekend to be a Memphis 901 FC fan. The big win and then the waiting game paid off, which allows us to bring you this podcast as podcasters for a USL Championship playoff team.
I wasn't cheering for Birmingham. I'm got to come clean with Coach about it. I got to come clean with you about it. I wasn't cheering for them.
Well, rather than just do it passively through this podcast, why don't we just talk to the coach? We'll have him on in just a few moments, and you can tell him yourself. That's right. The head coach of Memphis 901 FC, Ben Pierman, joins us as they prepare not just for the playoffs, but to try to get a better seed and to rotate the club to put them in position to make this historic season even bigger. We've got, we're not wearing shin guards. You know, no. We tried that for a long time. Yeah. We just weren't winning. You know what? We're 3 games over .500 right now.
Plus, you got the hip thing going on.
Yeah, I got the hip thing. We'll talk about that. So instead, you know what? We've got our popcorn tub. We've got our cold beer. It's Wednesday, so it's $2
beers. $2 beers, baby!
So we got a $20 bill. $20 beer. Wow. It's already starting. We got a $20 bill, and we're getting underway. It's Brody and Tim. It's My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E, podcave.com.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
Manager at the helm, Tim Van Horn. How you doing, man?
I'm doing better than I have in the last couple of months. It's good to be back. The studio, it smells fresh. We've been circulating the air in here. It has not been stale since we've been away. The new hip is working well. We're about to toss the cane. All is good. For those that don't know, I had my right hip replaced a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Campbell Clinic, for doing that. Now, you didn't do it for free, so you're not getting a full free plug but or anything like that. But it's good, and it's good to be able to be mobile. It was good to call a game a few weeks. Yeah. It's good to be back here with you. You got a haircut.
I know, finally.
Hairstyle. I'm sure the Miz is very pleased.
She was like, good. You took a shower. Thank God.
So you're all working on kid number four? What's up with cleaning up?
No more. We're done. Okay. But let me tell you something. We're done because I'm tired of buying jerseys. We're actually buying jerseys for the kids who are totally into this season now. What a difference a couple weeks make.
Oh, absolutely. This is a team that was right on the cusp of the playoffs, had a winning record briefly, and then fell back below the .500 watermark, and then just surged and continuing to surge. The water level continues to rise on new heights for Memphis 901 FC.
At the beginning of the season, we started with a home or away gauntlet, if you will, and we said that if they walked away with 5 points, and I think that was the mark there, 5 points, that we would be okay. That we would actually do something this season. We came away with 5 points.
And not only did we come away with 5 points, we came away with a team that looked like it was going to be pretty good at home as well.
Yeah. So what was the buy-in? What in your, and I'm going to ask the analyst, Tim Van Horn, what was the buy-in did we see it on the pitch from last year to this year, the difference of the buy-in with Ben Pearman as the helmsman?
We saw a preview of that in the last three matches of last year. I think the final 3-1 win against Birmingham was a statement for what was to come or what could come for this 2021 season.
Yeah.
And I think you saw a team that played more openly, more freely, with a game plan to utilize the speed and use the wings and more closely controlled possession. Maybe not more in percentage wise.
Yeah.
But to make the most of what they had,
because we see a lack of possession numbers percentage wise in a lot of the matches, even the matches we win. I think the last match we won, we were at like 42 or 37%. Don't quote me on the number, but that felt right. I think in the last match that we actually outright won, which was the last match, was at like 40-some-odd percent, which is still pretty damn good in consideration.
And what happens with the quality of possession? This is one of the best teams in the USL Championship and working and unlocking high press out of the back. You have a club that has the back line of four, and whichever four that may be, and due to injuries, there's been a lot of comings and goings, but you also have the two of Oduro and especially Leston Paul that's been a good link, and we've seen the attacking midfielders be able to pull themselves back and and you see the triangles working up the pitch, and they work very quickly up the pitch, which I think helps utilize the speed in the final third to be able to create those chances that I'm sure Ben Pearman will be telling us about in a few minutes.
It's not always flashy, this club. Not always the flash and pomp and circumstance that you might want, but they get the job done. And one of the outliers of that statement, though, is Kyle Murphy. This superstar that's emerged from this club. And spotlight recognition. Mark Segbers, I think, is another one of those outliers from that comment.
If in doubt, just put him on the USL Championship Team of the Week.
I mean, if either one, I think you're set to go. Kyle Murphy, in a lot of fans are know his name because he's being called out because of the goals he's scoring. What is that significance here right now with Kyle Murphy?
Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the year. And you and I have had this conversation, and I think we even had it on the podcast. We're not going to say things that we won't put on the podcast, but there was a bit of frustration, I think, even with Kyle of coming in and having a record as a goal scorer, but just the well was dry.
Yeah.
And not only was the well dry, but actually the number of touches for somebody that should be a sniper just were not there.
Yeah.
Some of that is on the striker for getting open, but some of it is also on the teammates for not. It's a two-way street. You got to build a relationship. I know where you're going to be. Hey, this is where I'm going to present myself to become available. And know if I get here, I have a good chance of getting the ball. Can I finish from here? And that has now become a yes. And not only has it become a yes, where you saw a very hot streak from Kyle Murphy, you saw a mini drought, and then it was
research. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and less of a, I hope I'm in the right spot, just happenstance being the right place, the right time. But it feels like this was set up. Like there was a cross, I think, a couple games ago that was, I mean, textbook beautiful. Kyle Murphy sliding in, putting one off the laces. Bam, it's in the back of the net. String music, baby. And it was beautiful.
Well, and as he does that, and it opened up a couple of things. It caused extra defenders to go gravitate toward him, which created additional opportunities. And thankfully, what has happened, the knock-on effect of that is we've seen other guys carry a little bit more of the load down the final stretch of the season. That was a problem earlier on, just after the midway point of the season, is, okay, if Kyle doesn't score, then who's going to do it? We thought it was going to be Salazar. He had a long stretch, but now we're starting to see Michael pick up a few goals here and there. We are starting to see other guys that are starting to chip in. And not only that, we're seeing it as a result of Kyle Murphy picking up an assist here and there as well, because will he shoot or will he pass? That's another dimension that has grown out of this. It's not that he's always been a selfish guy. He's just so efficient. Most of the time, he doesn't have to pass because he's probably going to score.
Right, right. Where else should I go other than the back of the net?
And his quality opportunities, he gets himself open, and there are some that have hit the post. There's been some great saves just over the bar. He could easily be at 23, 24 goals right now with the number of opportunities that he has created by getting open. Snipers are going to miss those opportunities at this level. That's okay. Let's consider the fact he's hit 18 of those. That is incredible. That has blown away the club record for the number of goals.
Yeah.
And not just for Memphis 901 FC, but for any Memphis professional outdoor team.
We're going to talk to Coach Ben Pearman, and he himself is in the record books. Kyle Murphy is in the record books. The club as a whole is in the record books right now, Tim. Is there a level of confidence that they're playing with that is dangerous in this USL right now?
What's interesting to me is there, as we record this, they've got 12 wins, 9 losses, and they've got 8 draws for a total of 44 points after 29 games. And what's incredible to me is this club has never been remotely near this position in the first two seasons.
I don't know how to act. As a fan, I don't know how to act right now.
Usually in the past, when you thought of Memphis 901 FC at 500, you thought, oh, it must be the beginning of the season before the first game.
Right. Because we were 0-0.
Right. Right. That, you know, we had gone, I believe, the first 5 opportunities that we had in franchise history to go above 500. 3 of those were the first game of the year, and then there were a couple of other opportunities where they went begging. They didn't happen, but we finally busted through. We got above 500. Mm-hmm. We fell below, but because the team has continued to develop and play better and figure each other out. Because remember, at the beginning of the year, there were only 4 guys from last year's team.
Yeah, right. This is a completely new club.
But we've seen them come together. They have not only reached 500, but now they're 3 games above 500 with 3 games to go. So even if they were to lose out, they can finish no worse than 12 wins, 12 losses.
That's crazy. That's crazy. This is incredible. We need to, I think, talk also about the swagger with this club. I think you and I both off podcast talked about how the club looks and feels even in warmups. On the pitch, where not discounting what's happened in years past, but just what's happening now at face value when they come out, do you notice and should I notice if I'm a fan coming to AutoZone Park for the last 2 matches? I highly recommend it to go see this action live. What should I look out for? Is there a different swagger? Is there something new in the air at AutoZone?
You see focus, but you see smiles in the pre-match. Mm. And I can only speak from my own experience, not as a professional athlete, but just as an amateur athlete, high school, college level. When you're like that, that's a team that's ready to play, that has come prepared. Mm. And you don't have
confidence.
You don't have that, oh crap, we got to get through this. It is we've got our mission. And I like the teammates that I'm playing with. We may not be best buddies. I don't know how deep the relationships go on the club, in the clubhouse. That's not for us. We're not in there, but I do know out on the pitch that they work really well together.
I know we're not going to get a look ahead written necessarily from coach, right? just because we know Coach Ben Pearman.
We got to ask though.
We got to ask. We'll ask him. Sure. But I'm asking you, who would you rather play, this 901 club versus and down the stretch? Who would you look ahead? Because now we have to look at the playoffs. This is a weird conversation that we're having right now.
We know if Memphis ends up as a 4 seed, it's going to be the Tampa Bay Rowdies. We already know that.
Yeah.
Sebastian Guinzotti, dangerous player. We know going to Al Lang Stadium, that is a tough ask.
Desk match, right.
Not impossible. Tampa's dropped points there this year.
Okay.
The big question is, who's going to end up in second place? If Memphis 901 FC ends up third, they would play second place from the Atlantic Division. And there are 3 teams right now with a couple of games left that could end up anywhere from 2 through 4. So who we may think is going to be the second seed today, by the end of the weekend, they may be down as low as 4th. And it may be simply on goal differential. It may be 1 point off. Yeesh. It's that tight over in the Atlantic. And then we got to look really within the division too. Tulsa, as we record this, play tonight. They have a match in hand. Memphis 901 FC sits 3rd, 4 points ahead. So no matter what Tulsa does tonight, tomorrow when we wake up, Memphis 901 FC is still in 3rd.
Okay.
But then you have Each team will have three matches left, with one of those matches being here next Wednesday as they play each other in a massive six-pointer, which could determine on that night, that could seal who gets third place.
Okay, so the next Wednesday match is the coup de grace, if you will, for third place.
It's also $2 beer night, yes.
Oh, hell.
But no, actually, more importantly, though, it could be the battle for third. But
I don't know. You know, you could be celebratory beer or, yeah, or commiserating beer at that point.
Tulsa has Atlanta United 2 tonight. And depending on which club Jack Collison fields for Atlanta United 2, that could go. You don't know what they're going to field. Maybe they field some MLS guys midweek. Maybe. You really don't know what you're going to get.
Well, what is the ramifications of an Atlanta win?
Atlanta, it cannot.
Statistically, they're done.
This is their last match of the season. Yeah, they're done.
Okay.
They're done. So this is playing out the string. Some of these guys may be playing to impress. We don't know.
So they could be playing spoiler, but more importantly, those players on the pitch. I'm trying to see what is the driving force for Atlanta United to come to a victory here. Is it?
They're playing in Tulsa, by the way.
Ugh.
At I believe that's called One Oak Field.
So we're
One Oak Field.
One okay field.
I used to think it was Oney Oak because it's O-N-E, okay.
Okay. Is it One Oak?
I think it's One Oak, like as in One Oklahoma.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, so it's individual effort that we're looking at here.
I'm an idiot. We knew that before the show, though.
It's okay.
But here's
peas in a pod here.
So you got Tulsa and Atlanta United, and then Tulsa has, they're just like us. We have three matches in 8 days after that. So
okay,
they will play, and we do have common opponents in this. They will
Louisville,
have
right?
They will have. No, they have Indy 11.
Indy 11. That's what.
And then Memphis and Tulsa play each other. Tulsa finishes up with Oklahoma City, and
that could have big implications.
It could. This weekend, 901 FC goes to Lynn Family Stadium to play Louisville, which I will probably watch with the volume turned down because every other commentator in this league slobbers with love over Lynn Family Stadium.
How could you not, though? It's a beautiful stadium.
But it's a stadium. It's just a stadium. I have respect for the fans, though. They turn out in droves.
Yeah.
And they have a great fan base. But it is it's like coming to Memphis. And even if you don't like rock and roll, you've got to say the word Elvis.
Right, right. You got to pet the statue a little bit.
Yeah. I have nothing against the stadium. I don't hate the stadium. But okay. It's a stadium, you know, it can't open the beer for you.
Damn. What is it for?
I don't know.
Come on, Megatron, let's go.
But they have an excellent fan base there. So that's going to be a tough ask going in.
Do you play everybody? If I'm asking Coach Tim Van Horn at this point, do I sit somebody? Or do I sit all my starters and say, you know what, we're going to take this one on the chin? So
let's check with him because there may be. I think Leston Paul's already hit eight. There may be somebody on the roster. I don't know. There may be a suspension where there may be somebody that cannot play in that match. I don't know.
We'll ask Coach Ben Perrin.
Yeah. And it may also, gosh, it may, and he'll never tell us this, but it may hinge on the result of Tulsa tonight. If they come within a point, maybe you go a little harder. Maybe you go a little harder for that draw on the road or try to get a result. If not, you're 4 points ahead. So basically, you have a one game margin of error plus that extra point.
Yeah,
you just got to finish, you know, 1 point better, or at this point, you know, maybe with the goal differential, that'll work out as well. So I think it depends on tonight's match. But as you get into as the picture becomes clearer, then the question becomes, okay, who do you rotate in because of injuries? You want to make sure you got your best 18 ready for the first playoff game.
Do you see academy players?
I think that may be a possible, especially at home. If you've got four academy guys and you've gotten local guys, I think if you have a chance, if you have that opportunity, I think you put at least a couple of them in that haven't been in yet to showcase them for the friends and family for all the work that they've put in. I think maybe you do that. I know he's not going to. He can't answer that because he doesn't know, because you don't know what the results have been. So, but if we're sitting here speculating, if we were sitting here having a couple of beers speculating, I would say at some point, if the margin is there where they can afford to do that, then I say
yes, whether third place is clinched or fourth place is already clinched, I say yes. If not, I don't know if you go with your academy guy. I don't know if he's ready to trust his academy guys in that spot.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be with any coach. I think that's fair.
I think it is fair. Listen, we've already presented a lot of questions to coach. We haven't even asked him yet in person, but we get him on the phone, and that happens next on My Three Subs.
And that takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
The heart of Memphis has always been full of song. Every walk of life represented in the way Memphians know best. From the established to the current to the rising stars, hear their story and their music on the Memphis Reverb podcast on your favorite podcast provider. Just search Memphis Reverb.
There's the whistle. Go, go, go! Second half, My Three Subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
Joining us right now is the head coach for Memphis 901 FC. Ben Pearman is with us on My Three Subs. Coach, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time. I know this is not only a busy time of the day and of the week, but a very busy time of the season. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
First of all, we want to send congratulations to the entire organization. It was a great weekend with the victory over Atlanta United 2, and then it was kind of a watch and wait as Oklahoma City dropped points against Birmingham.
I wasn't cheering for Birmingham, Coach. I wasn't cheering for them. I was cheering at them.
Same. I'm right there with you.
You know, nothing but positive vibes. Hey, everybody, let's take a point out of this. Everybody, let's get a draw out of this. That's kind of how we were. So with that, of course, now guaranteed no lower than fourth in the division. But and we've got some questions on a couple of things because now, you know, for the first time, not just in 901 FC's history, but in Memphis professional outdoor soccer history, there's that dilemma of how to prepare for the playoffs. And we want to touch on that in a minute. But first,
I've never been here.
Yeah. But before we even get there, I want to ask you about that Atlanta game as it looked like there were three or four just gilt edge opportunities in the first half. You go in after the foul by Segbers in the penalty kick. You actually go down at the half 1-0 when I thought, you know, at that point, you know, maybe should have been up 2 or 3 nil at that point. What did you say to the guys in the locker room? Because my gosh, I couldn't even go to the restroom second half for fear of missing you guys scoring a goal.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing, like you said, was we played a pretty good first half after the first 5 or 10 minutes. So we just wanted to continue to do what we were doing well, which was getting the ball side to side, creating the wide overloads and being aggressive, pushing numbers forward. The other thing is we knew Atlanta, who are one of the top possession teams in the entire league, that they exposed themselves and we wanted to transition quickly. So we wanted to put a winger inside a little bit. And we created some goals. One's quick restart and the other ones were quick counters. So, you know, it was more just kind of sticking to it and staying confident and believing in it. You know, like you said, we conceded the goal late at the half. You know, we just dealt with it and moved on. You know, when you do things the right way, hopefully over the course of 90 minutes, it works out for you.
You know, Coach, that's something I think inherently different that we've seen from this club. A goal gets scored on them and they bounce back. Is that something that you've been preaching at them and to them and they finally bought into it at practice? Or, I mean, what was that turning point that, oh, we got a goal scored on us? It's not a hang the head and shame kind of thing. It's a bounce back and, okay, well, let's go back and punch him in the mouth.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, we've been doing it all season long. Second match of the year, we were down a goal. We came back, we were up 2-1, you know,
right
in the 11th, second match on the road, we go down within 5 minutes, it's 1-1. So like for us, it's not anything necessarily a turning point per se.
Right.
For me, it's more along the lines of, like I said, if you do things the right way over the course of 90 minutes, it's going to balance itself out. But for us, it's about changing our own luck and doing things what we need to do, going and being a little bit tougher, being a little bit more thorough in our match play. And then, you know, look, sometimes you need breaks to go our way, you know, whether it's like the penalty kick, the red card, you know, some of those breaks weren't going our way in the first part of the season. Now they are. So it's a combination of balancing both you know, our game model and playing hard, but also making sure we're thorough and pushing through and making sure we do every little detail to get things taken care of.
You know, you mentioned the second game, and that kind of spurred my memory a little bit, because I remember we had a conversation after one of the Thursday practice sessions, and you talked about the need. We were getting plenty of shots as a club, but you were talking about the statistics of really not enough shots inside the 18 yard box. And really from there moving forward, we've seen that, and I think it's really reflective in Kyle Murphy's conversion rate. He's one of the most efficient strikers in the entire league. The guys are feeding him the ball. Now you're seeing other guys that have been getting quality shots and working the goalkeeper throughout the match and really taxing the defense. Can you speak to a little bit on that improvement as you've gone along?
Yeah, like you said, for us, the biggest thing for us is we want to create the most high level quality goal scoring opportunities as possible, while also limiting our opponent. You know, when we're on the road, maybe we defend to attack a little bit. You know, when we're at home, we have to be a little bit more assertive and aggressive. You know, so there's a couple different ways to do it. The other piece is every club's going to be different. You know, maybe some teams are, you know, they want to go 30 shots, but they concede 20. Maybe we go 12 shots, but we only concede two or three. So everything's a little bit different. But like you said, creating those chances in and around the goal, Kyle Murphy's run of form has been excellent. You know, a player for me that's really done a great job with the more and more minutes he's capable of playing his role in Lama. He's got, I think he might have 3 goals already and a couple helpers. You know, he's been really exquisite in between the lines, but also getting around the goal. It just has that pedigree for us. So, you know, for us, like you mentioned, we want to create high level quality goal scoring opportunities. And there's a variety of different ways to do that.
Head coach Ben Pearman's joining us on the podcast today. And before we move on to the next match, which I know is coming up, you've got 3 matches left in the regular season. All eyes will be also on how Tulsa does tonight, as they have a match in hand. You have a 4-point cushion right now that could change, or it could, you know, be status quo heading into the weekend. But before I guess we discuss the next match, can you talk a little bit about, because this is a unique position for any Memphis outdoor professional coach. You're now in a position where you've got 3 matches to go. And can you talk about the balance that you've probably got to be looking at in regards to seeding versus preparing your players physically and also keeping them off of the discipline sheet for that first playoff game against whoever it may be?
Yeah, you know, look, we have to win matches here. There's still a lot to play for. There's no time to take our foot off the gas. You know, Sagbers will be out at the weekend because of the 8 yellow cards. You know, now Logue's got a broken rib, so we'll look at a couple things there. And yes, maybe just like anything else, you know, we have a small roster, but we have a quality roster. We've got 14, 15 guys that can start any day of the week without even batting an eye. And those are selection problems for myself and the staff.
Good problem to have, coach.
Yeah. You know, what we want to do is we want to make sure we're putting the team in successful moments for every single match. You know, we don't say, well, we'll throw this one away, we'll do this. You know, maybe that means one winger starts this game and gets the midweek off and then plays at the weekend. But you know, for us, it's all about pushing forward. The only game that matters right now is away to Louisville, which, as we've seen, is a bear of a match. You know, they're desperate. It's a must win match for them. Mm-hmm. Where, to be honest, it isn't for us. So we need to play like it is a must win match. You know, I told the team yesterday, I said, look, outside of Oklahoma City, which we laid eggs in, if we beat Louisville, we have a winning record against every other team in the division. Yeah. And there's not a lot of clubs across this league that can say that. Yeah. And it's not like we've only played these teams once or twice. You play them 4 times. When you have a winning record against everybody, then there's something to be said that you're the more quality side. Yeah. So, you know, we're obviously playing catch up to Birmingham and Louisville big picture. You know, but for us, if we can take care of business on Saturday, that'll be another big step forward for us. But we know it's going to be a really tough match. They're desperate. They're obviously a massive club with massive resources, but you know, we've done all right against them the last 2 matches.
Yeah. How much would it mean to the club and to you to beat them in Lynn Family Stadium? Brody mentioned this to me. That was the first, that was your first match as as head coach. Of the club. I think just beating Louisville at any time is a big deal, but to be able to go in there, would probably send a statement all across the league as if you're not already making statements.
Yeah. You know, that they don't lose a lot of points at that stadium. Even one of, I think it was their last home match, they played Sporting Kansas City. They're down a goal in injury time and they find a way to not only tie it up, but get all 3 points. You know, so for us, look, we've played in that stadium twice. Once was the first coach or first match when I was coach. The second time was the first time they were, quote, open for business, you know, sell out, all that stuff. So again, now it's their last home match of the season and a must win game. We just seem to get them in these high flying matches each week, but we'll be ready. We're excited. You know, I'm not as much worried about milestones and what it means for the club necessarily as much as big picture. We need to continue to get points and we want to get that third playoff spot and then, you know, keep pushing on. Obviously the Tulsa match is a 6-pointer and then wherever we land and then move forward and prepare for the playoffs.
How do you prepare for that? You've got Charlotte, you've got Miami, Pittsburgh. And you've got Pittsburgh. Yeah. Do you have your assistant coach Devin Rensing already looking at video?
Yeah, we've been keeping an eye on it, but it doesn't really matter in terms of, you know, it's over these next 2 weeks, it's just going to change. You know, Miami play Tampa tonight. They've had their number a little bit. You know, Pittsburgh had the debacle at the weekend where they had points kind of stolen from, you know, Charlotte. Charlotte, I think, are like 8-1-2 in their last 11 games, are the hottest team in the league. So none of them are teams we want to play. but in the end of it, you know, it's going to be that way.
At the end of the day though, coach, who do you have your eyes on? Is there somebody you want to play over somebody else? Or at this point you're like, you know what? Bring me the big dog, you know?
You know, to be honest with you, the only one that would help me would say, let's go to Miami because the weather's so beautiful. But, you know, look, Tampa, Miami, Charlotte, Pittsburgh, they're all class. You know, 3 of the 4 clubs are on turf. That's something unique. You know, but look, they're all going to be a very tough game. Like I said, that'll take care of itself when it arrives. We just got to focus on taking care of Louisville right now.
Ben, we know you got to go in just a minute, but I do want to ask you, and yes, we know it's all about the team. We know it's all one game at a time. We're all one day at a time, but just let your hair down for a second. What does it mean to qualify for the playoffs on a personal, professional level? Your first year as the head coach here, you know, who's that first phone call? You know, did you call Coach Wayne? What does it mean to you that the club took a shot with you to be the coach and now it's paying dividends?
Yeah, no, you sound like my wife a little bit. She's like, you just need to enjoy it. But, you know, like I said, the biggest thing was for these guys, the players and the staff. It was so tremendous for them with the adversity they've gone through, you know, the late start, all the things that we could sit here and talk about for so long. You know, I'm just so proud and elated for them. The second bit is, you know, Coach Devin and my wife, we watched the game Sunday night, you know, Oklahoma City almost win it there with the last kick of the game. And then it was kind of just like, oh yeah, you know, we're a playoff team now, let's go get ready for training, you know? So it's one of those things where I compartmentalize and internalize a lot of things, but I'm thrilled. I'm really excited for the guys. Obviously it's a family affair, both with my family, but also the club and the community. So I'm happy for everybody involved.
That's about as close to a joyous answer we're going to get. Ben, thank you. That is opening up there. So no, that's fantastic. But as I mentioned at the top, you know, it has been with the Memphis Rogues for 3 years. They were 1 point away from the playoffs back in the 70s and the 80s. And of course, you know, you've been here since the beginning with the club. So for Memphis fans that have been following soccer for, you know, a couple of generations, this is a first. So congratulations. Thanks for all of your hard work and for the entire club for what you guys are doing. And we know it is not easy to make the playoffs in this league because it is a man's league and there is some parity in there. So to be able to make that leap here in your first full year, it says a lot about what's going on there at the club. So, you know, congratulations. And I'm sure I speak for everybody that listens.
No, thank you guys, and thank you obviously for the whole season of support. It's not just this season, but all three seasons. But you know, thank you guys again. Hopefully we can continue to make people proud and keep pushing on these last few weeks of the season.
All right. Very good. Hey, we'll leave it at that. Head coach Ben Pearman.
History bookmaker.
Yes. But he will never admit
it. He'll never admit it.
You know,
I'll say it. I don't care.
You know, he'll never call himself a hero, but he can't stop us.
He can't stop me.
No, can't stop it. Hey, Ben, thanks so much. And good luck at the weekend. And we'll see you for the final two home games starting next Wednesday.
Thanks again. Take care.
More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
I love talking soccer, but I also love talking about real estate, too. And people ask me about both a lot. And one of the big questions I get in real estate is, how's the housing market? The housing market looks great. And really, it all comes down to, when is the time right for you? If you're ready to make your move, give me a call. Tim Van Horn at Cry Like Realtors. 901-756-8900 is my office number. Brody, can I give him my cell number? Oh, I can. Okay. 901-262-5000. That's my cell phone. You can also go to my website, timvanhorn.com. I can help you with your move around the block, around the city, around the state, and even around the world, too. I have a network of relocation certified agents just ready to help you. They are dying for your business, and I can put you in touch with those. All it takes is pick up the phone, give me a call. 901-756-8900. That's my office number. You can call me at my cell, 901-262-5000. Or just go online. Check me out at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com with Cry Like Realtors.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. And we have added time to the podcast.
Coach Ben Pearman on the phone.
Oh, it was great.
You know, history maker.
You know what we forgot to ask? How is he when it comes to yellow cards? Is he close to any kind of suspension? Oh. And do coaches get suspended?
I don't know. Well, I... We've never had this problem.
I think maybe they just get fined.
I think they do.
Yeah, like, I don't. Yeah,
you don't vacate the bench. It's not Premier League.
I never would have thought that he would have, you know, come as close.
I don't think he's that coach. I don't think he's that close.
Because he's had three or four yellows.
Yeah, but three or four. Come on, we're used to like eight or nine. Just calling it like it is.
Well, in all honesty, they were deserved.
No.
I mean, at some point, Mark Birch couldn't take all of the yellow cards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we earned every last one of those cards in some capacity on the sideline.
Oh, for sure. But, you know, and speaking of captains, you know, Leston Paul, I've seen, you know, he's come in as a sub in the last few matches. He's started and maybe gone 60, 65. I think he's put a ton of mileage on it. He's just gotten beat up this year.
I think so too.
Because he's gotten several cards, yeah, but he's also suffered a lot of fouls as well. I think if you've got a guy that has just been roughed up this year, but it has been of a massive benefit to the club. You got to look at Leston and say, yeah, you know, well done, dude. Thank you so much.
Perennial, you know, he's been there since the beginning. And
did you know he only played in like half the matches in the first year? That he wasn't used until like later on in the year, which I like looking back, it's like,
why not?
What's the deal?
Yeah. Well, you know, but we've used him. To your point, we've used him. And at some point, I think you could argue abused him a little bit on the pitch this year. But man, what a captain. You know, oh, captain, my captain with Leston Paul.
And not a bad guy for someone that went to South Florida.
UCF guy.
Yeah, well, no, it's USF.
Or USF.
Whatever. Yeah, he was a bull.
Whatever. It is what it is. Yeah. But yeah, I think there's a lot of players like this on the club where, wow, we're finally using the players at hand. And I think they're feeling it. Look at Wynn. Wynn, I could argue, came in, was a little timid almost playing, pass it back. No, I'm not really sure where to go with this ball. But now all of a sudden, we're hitting it.
How about that tap in that he had for being right place, right time?
Right place, right time. But I'm going back to what we talked about in the second segment here. It feels like they're on purposely right there at the right place at the right time because they know where the ball's going.
Well, when you see centering passes and you've got two or three guys crashing inside the six, then you know that they've bought into the plan. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, the tap-in goal for Wynn, I mean, he was so happy. It's like, I could stand, take two or three touches, maybe juggle it, and then bury it if I wanted to. But the pass from Murphy was just so dadgum good.
Props also, while we're giving them to Kissy-Doo. Finally finding the back of the net here in the recent
Which is much better because weeks prior, he was finding the back of section 112 yeah. for those shots. Those are some moon shots.
Those were some field goal level kind of 53 yarders kind of thing going
but
on.
But once he started burying those long distance shots or putting them on frame, I mean, he's been great ever since. Also, I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention the yeoman's work that Dominic Oduro has been doing on the back line. Also, Roland Lama, I know Coach mentioned him a little bit earlier. I think, and if you watch, it's a little painful to watch Roland run. I think his knees are close to being shot.
Yeah.
But I want to say, I think it's been fantastic that.
Listen, the guy comes in the first match and he scores. Come on, man.
Roland is getting every bit, and I think Ben is getting every bit of mileage out of his experience and skill that they possibly can. And I think Roland's having a good time. He's fun to watch. While maybe his knees aren't what they used to be, his legs weren't used to like they were with FC Dallas. I remember, I mean, he was just a monster there. Yeah. That skill, that first second, that trickery, it's still there. That leadership is still there.
Yeah.
And it has been fun to see him play on our club and see what he brings and helps make everybody better in the time that he's in there. I will say this. I love the fact that we get quality minutes out of Roland Lama. It's not just getting him out there. He's doing something. He's making the team better when he's out there. And you can tell the teammates like him.
Yeah.
A lot.
And I think that's true for even the back end. You know, we were worried when JB went down and we're thinking, oh boy, what's our season going to do now? And kind of lamenting. But then
did you see his jersey was the first to sell
in the
auction out in the auction for the Baptist charity. Yeah, for breast cancer charity. His jersey was the first one.
I mean,
but then I also saw Max Talley sold. So I'm wondering if Kerry pulled out the credit card or if that was maybe, maybe there's a girlfriend out there that, you know, splurged.
Listen, I don't think that there's anybody on this club right now, and I'm going to say this with confidence, that you're sitting there going, that's the slouch, that's the weak link, that's the, you know what I mean? Because everybody, I feel like everybody knows their place in this club.
We should have asked Ben if it's helped to have if this is the best assistant coach the club's ever had in Devin Rensing.
Right.
That would have, he would have thought about that, and then he probably would have just hung up.
Yeah, I think that would have ended our relationship.
But it would have been totally in jest, though, because listen, we've known Ben for a while, and when he was when they were waiting to announce who it was, you know, we had stayed in contact with Ben, and
I think we were hoping.
We were openly hoping that it was Ben because we know the work that he's put in as an assistant coach, and for him, you know, that was probably a difficult choice. Okay, you know, now who's my right-hand man?
Right.
And I believe Devin has that Michigan State background too. You know, somebody he can kind of trust with that heritage of the Spartans, but it's been great. And one, I guess maybe before we go, it would be criminal if we didn't mention just what a badass Raul Gonzalez is.
Man, the Tiger comes home and
goal of the year, dude.
Goal of the year. I think goal of the history of this club, at least so far.
Although the Najem assist to muck it.
That was pretty good. But I'm going to be honest with you. Seeing that live.
But you don't have anything interesting that rhymes with Gonzalez like you do muck it.
Yeah, right. That bicycle kick, though, live, that was once in a lifetime. I look down at my son and I go, you remember this day, pal, because that was incredible.
My wife's favorite player is Raul, and I think it's because we've seen him when he comes off at the end of a match, there's not a dry thread on him because he works the wing. Yeah. He sets an example down the wing. He and Segbers are both fantastic. They go box to box. And not only that, I know Mark puts in the tackles, but my gosh, Gonzalez gives as much as he takes.
Full body, man.
And, you know, the fact that he's injured right now, it is a little bit heartbreaking because he has meant a lot to the defense. And I know he worked so hard because he was one of the original 901 FC players.
Yeah.
And has had to fight through injury after injury, and he's been productive for the team this year. He's been so good, physical player, a professional's professional, and really you could go down and you could make an honor roll of pretty much everybody on the roster that's been out there this year.
This is a history level club. This is a history level coach. This is a history level season when it comes to 901 FC. Who knows where we go from this? I think out. Okay, let's just play it like this. Out first round, still a memorable season?
Oh, it's historic because we go into uncharted territory. But I can tell you right now, Ben will be pissed off because he's not a happy to be here guy.
Yeah, right. Winner, all or nothing kind of thing.
And unless we get third and then crazy things happen, all of the matches will be on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay. We know we can win on the road. Going back to segment two here, we said 5 points on the road.
Yep.
If we can get it, we got it. Yep. And it's possible. Me personally, I think if we're playing Charlotte, I'm okay. Pittsburgh, maybe. I'm okay with that too.
Charlotte has.
But boy, that final
outstanding keeper. They've got good. They're really good on defense, and they've got Dane Kelly up front. He's the guy that used to play with Indy that scored in bunches. They picked him up last year. But any of them are going to be a good opponent. Yeah. And then, you know, Miami, when we played Miami here, I thought we were the better team, but Miami was clinical on their finishes, won that match 2-0. And Pittsburgh will just they'll foul you until you have to call 911. And I mean, that's just how they are. So it's
a smash mouth city. So they fit right in.
But we're 12-9. So it's not like
we're not
like
schlubs either, man.
It's not like we got to bow to anybody. Right. You know, the club is just fine. How good is the club? I went last Saturday and before the match, I went as a spectator. I'll go next Wednesday as a spectator. I'll be on TV for the final regular season home game. But the season is going so well that, by God, I saw Craig Unger smile.
Wow.
And I stopped and talked to Craig, and you know, I don't want to jinx you, but hey, listen, congratulations. I know 2020 was rough because, you know, unlike minor league baseball, you know, the owners are responsible for paying and all of that. And with coronavirus, you know, they took a bloodbath financially. They had to. I have never seen the books.
Right.
But it just logically.
Outside looking in,
if you can't have butts in the seats, but you're still playing the games, if you can't sell concessions, and if you're not really moving the merchandise because people aren't there, you're taking a bloodbath.
Yeah.
I said, hey, man, listen, congratulations. I know it's been a very tough 18 plus months. We remember at the beginning of the second season when you were up on the platform at the brass door on the side there with Tim Howard, and you said, hey, we are working to get a playoff team. Of course, last year was an anomaly, but here you are. Promises
playoff
made,
team.
Promises kept. So, you know, hey, congratulations, Craig. It was good to see you smile. On another note, renew Ben Pearman. Pay the man. And Kyle Murphy, renew the guy.
Bruh.
Keep them back, man.
Keep them.
We sure do appreciate you bringing those guys in, and let's keep them around. Let's keep a good thing going.
Keep that number 9, baby.
Yep. Anything else? Don't email us. We probably won't respond. You can tweet us. We'll check it sometime next week.
Sometime. And so find us on social media. We're at My Three Subs Podcast and My Three Subs. But yeah, man, go to the game. See us at the game. If you want to talk to us, go find us at the match.
This weekend, they'll be in Louisville. And then next Wednesday, 7 o'clock at AutoZone Park. It's a home match. And then the finale at 7 o'clock on the 30th against... who the hell are they playing? Indy. They're playing Indy 11, final match of the year.
Not the final match that I'd want, but final match we're going to get.
Hey, listen. Hey, we can go kick our feet up, and really our only worry, we have first world problems. Where are we going to be in the playoffs?
Right.
First world problems,
we made the playoffs. How about that, Indy 11?
That's right. All right. Hey, Brody, it's good to see you again.
Absolutely, brother.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more of My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey.
This is a Brody Scott production.
That's you, Daddy.